Where did they all go? Where did all these Jews go? In the short term, they aimed for the displaced persons' camps in Germany, Austria, and Italy. But the irony that it should be these former Axis countries that would provide them with salvation did not escape them. Their long-term aim was to leave mainland Europe altogether. Many wanted to go to Britain or parts of the British Empire. Many more wanted to get to the United States. But by far the majority wanted to go to Palestine. They knew that Zionists were pushing for a Jewish state there, and considered such a state the only place where they might realistically be safe from anti-Semitism. My interjection, power made sure of that, didn't they? Continuing, they were helped in this aim by just about every nation apart from Britain. The Soviets, who were perfectly happy for their Jews to flee Europe, did not place obstacles in their way and open their borders for Jews, but only for Jews to exit. The Poles and the Hungarians, as we have seen, did whatever they could to make life for Jews uncomfortable and again encourage them to leave by any means possible. The Romanians, Bulgarians, Yugoslavs, Italians, and French all provided ports for Jews to embark on ships bound for the Holy Land, and rarely made any effort to stop them. But it was the Americans who helped the Jews most of all, not by allowing them to come to the United States, but by facilitating their journey towards British-controlled Palestine. My interjection, let's add a little more depth, an additional layer, an undertone to the unfolding story told by Keith Lowe. Background themes, these power guys ever present underneath things, against which to better see U.S. Middle East scheming. And this is going to be a quote, a lengthy quote from the book American Dynasty, Aristocracy, Fortune, and the Politics of Deceit in the House of Bush, from a 2004 book by Kevin Phillips. Quote, in the early phases of World War II, given the uncertainty and ambivalence of 1941-3, the interaction of business, politics, and government had a conservative tone. Part of this conservatism was due to lingering pre-war isolationism, with conservative Republicans speaking openly of Mr. Roosevelt's war. Both elites and the broader electorate reacted to the apparent defeats experienced by the United States during 1942, from losses to Japan in the Pacific, to embarrassment at German hands in Tunisia, and the devastation wrought by U-boats in the sea lanes off the U.S. East Coast. Together, they brought large and unexpected Republican congressional gains in that year's midterm elections. The House of Representatives, in particular, became strongly conservative. Roosevelt also faced dissension in the military and intelligence communities. Not a few senior officers, especially in the Navy, disagreed with the White House priority on supporting Britain against Germany. They urged greater attention to the Pacific theater and war against Japan. Some intelligence officials, in turn, were ambiguous about favoring the Soviet Union over Germany. Maintaining quiet connections through Switzerland with non-Nazi Germans and some Nazi officials. During the winter of 1942, the Swiss-based Alan Dulles discussed with emissaries, at least half seriously, a settlement in which Germany would keep Austria and some other new territory, and SS Chief Heinrich Himmler would replace Hitler. And my interjection, Dulles's musings should not surprise us, nor be considered unrealistic. Look who's now the Indian president. And in Afghanistan, a similar dynamic. Continuing. So they were these global state statesmen, you know, scheming as always, playing God as always, parceling out the world, trying to decide what to do with us, who to put in charge of us. And so a few of them thought, let's get rid of Hitler and put in Himmler. And then Eastern Europe, this was part of the imaginings he's saying of Alan Dulles, make a deal with Germany, get rid of Hitler, put in Himmler. And then Eastern Europe would be made into a cordon sanitaire, which means a series or chain of small neutral buffer states around a larger, potentially dangerous or hostile state. So that Eastern Europe would be made into a cordon sanitaire against communism. By way of backdrop, Missouri Senator Harry Truman had argued in 1941 that as between the warring Russians and Germans, quote, if we see that Germany is winning, we ought to help Russia. And if Russia's winning, we ought to help Germany. And in that way, let them kill as many as possible, unquote. It was not a sentiment, says Mr. Phillips, that got Truman in trouble.